that's over.
Well, it's not so much that it got fixed, that someone fixed it. You fixed it, right? Good.
Let's put that together. And that shofar's pasul.
Good, that's pasul.
Dibek, shivrei, shofros, and a fixed shofar, a shofar that was put that together with other pieces. The other shofros is
pasul. Good. So let's take it slow. Dibek shivrei shofros. You said it correctly. Dibek shivrei shofros. What's the actual case? You glued, you reattached multiple pieces of shofros. Now, admittedly, it's not 100% clear from the Mishnah whether this means you took pieces from many shofars, right, and you constituted a whole shofar, or you had one shofar that got broken into many pieces, and you put those back together. Right, but we have to leave that, I guess, for now as an open question. Maybe there's two possibilities. But either way, there are two cases. One is a shofar shenistak. So the simple pshat is a shofar that was cracked, and you somehow repaired the crack. Again, the shofar that's cracked means the crack penetrates the actual inner wall of the shofar. If you look at some shofars, not this kind of shofar, but if you look at the ram's horn shofar, for example, it's actually very rough on the outside, and it's very thick. Sometimes you can see what looks like a crack or a striation in the outer wall of the shofar. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a crack that penetrates the inside of the shofar.
The full thickness.
Yes. In fact, Mi'ikar HaDin, there's some discussion about it in the postgame, but Mi'ikar HaDin, engraving on the outside of the shofar, provided that it doesn't go inside the shofar, is not really problematic. It's not encouraged because of that question of how close you're going to get without really making it problematic, but Me'ikra Adin, it's not a psul. Similarly, if some person took a shofar and shaved it down, you shave down the shofar until it's most narrow point, right? You have the very thinnest layer left of the shofar, that's also okay, because you still didn't do anything to alter the shofar. You didn't ruin the shofar. But once the crack penetrates, that's what we're talking about. So let's see, take a look at Rashi. Go ahead, Daniel, you're doing a good job. Vidovko, so you took that shofar that cracked, and you were medabik it, you reattached it somehow.
Vidovek, shikurin, glued,
right. So everyone had a good time with this Rashi. Rashi's telling you that you reattached it with some type of paste that's referred to glued. Apparently, the term that we have glue, and this term glued, come from some common word that was known in Old French. Or that was the word in Old French, glued, and they came from someplace else in the Latin, presumably. But that's not a Rashi that you need to spend a lot of time trying to really understand. It's just telling you something. It's more of a curiosity for us than anything else. Okay. Sometimes those are the hardest words in Rashi to understand, the words that are not Aramaic and not Lashon HaKodesh, they're Old French. Just so you know, we're not going to spend too much time on that now, but if you look in the back of the Gemara, for those that have a Gemara, and if you don't have one today, next time you have a Gemara, you'll notice in the back there's a commentary called the Metargim. So the Metargim basically is a list of a lot of these words that Rashi writes in foreign languages, and they bring down interpretations, or you have this newer version, the Otzer Lazei Rashi. But what's interesting about the Metargim is that he often touches it into equally obscure languages for the average person. He gives you some German or maybe Yiddish, and it's not spoken Yiddish either. It's very, I guess, technical Yiddish, but sometimes he'll throw in another Maramakum to another Rashi, to another cross-reference, and you can get a feel of the word. Glued, we don't really need too much help with. Okay, next. The next Rashi is key. Good, you're doing great.
Alright, puzzle.
Tehavale Kishnei Shofros, good. Let me ask you a question. Which case is Rashi addressing here? We have two cases in the Mishnah.
First one.
Rashi says pasul. Which one's pasul? They're both pasul, right? So which one is Rashi addressing?
Presumably the first, but I don't know that.
It's not clear, right? It's not clear. So maybe we could deduce from the language of Rashi himself. Let's see. The Havle Kishnei Shofros, because it's like two shofros. Does that help us at all? No. It's not really clear which case Rashi is referring to. Okay, so we have to hold that off. Hold off on that question.
Well, the shivrei shofros is like pretty clear that it's shivrei, that it's like plural.
Okay.
Whereas like the other one, it's not so clear. So then we would need Rashi to clarify it.
So you want to say it's more likely that Rashi talking about the first case, because the second case is obviously Shivei Shofros.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good possibility.
Yeah.
That's a good possibility. Awesome. But we know already from Tosos. Tosos assumes Rashi talking about
first.
Seemingly the Chiddush case, right? The first case, like you're saying. That the second case, we know, is that problem, according to Rashi.
Second case is not?
The second case is what?
It's not a case of Shivrei Shofar, or Shnei Shofar.
According to Rashi? No, according to Rashi, it is.
Okay, so the question is, I just said he's referring to both cases.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the only thing I'm pointing out. I'm saying Rashi doesn't say openly which case he's talking about, but we'll see from Tosos that Tosos assumes he's applying this reason to both cases. Okay? So what is Rashi saying? What is this term, Dahavali Kishnei Shofros? Is anyone bothered by that? I mean, where does this come from? What does it mean? Simply put, Rashi is saying either one or both of these cases is problematic because it's like Dahavale, it's like Shnei Shofros. What does that mean? Was anyone bothered by that? You were bothered by that?
Yeah,
okay.
Like two.
Good.
So what? Not actually two. I was thinking that.
Okay. Well, what is two? What if it is two?
Yeah. Why
would that be puzzling?
What if it is two?
So, the Tosfos quoted that pasuk that said it should be like the way it's supposed
okay,
to be.
Okay, good. V'havarta. It has to be Derech Havaraso. Okay, that's good. The truth is, maybe it's not so fair that I'm asking, but the Gemara on the previous Amud, on Chavav, on previous Daf, on Chavav, uses this term. The Gemara there, talking about different types of shofar, says you can't use the shofar of a cow, because the cow's shofar grows in such a way where it grows layer upon layer. Gildi, gildi. And the Gemara says, that the Torah says, use a shofar. And this one grows layer upon layer, and it looks like two or three shofar. So there is this idea in the Shas already that the Torah says shofar amar rachmana, and not two or three. So Rashi over here is seemingly drawing down on that idea, borrowing from that idea, and saying when you blow one or both of these types of shofaros, you're in violation of the Torah's mandate to blow a shofar. Because you're blowing more than one shofar. So now, which case seems more like that, like you're blowing more than one shofar?
The one that is of different pieces, from like two or three different...
different pieces, right? Even if it's from one shofar. Even if it's from one shofar, right? There I could say, well, I'm blowing multiple shofars. Let's just say for argument's sake, each one had a shear. Right? I took the shofar and it was broken up into pieces and each one had a shear of a shofar. And now I put them back together. So that's like I'm blowing more than one shofar. But what about the first case? Why is that like blowing more than one shofar? So take a look at Tosos, and then we'll...
Why do you see that to be more likely? Why is that more like blowing more than one shofar than if there's a split between it and you tape that together? Or you glue it together?
Well, we're going to get to Tosos to see what the split is, but let's say a shofar is X amount of substance. So I have one, two, three, four... They get broken up and I put them together. So I understand, okay, now I'm blowing more than one shofar. I'm blowing different pieces of shofars. Each one could be called, on some level, could be called a shofar.
But if it's nistak, I guess what he's asking, if it's cracked.
Nistak, what do I have? Well, let's see the pshat. We don't know the pshat in nistak yet. We don't know the pshat yet. Let's see Tosos. Let's see Tosos. So Tosos will help us understand Rashi, and will also show us that there's a major machlokas here between Rashi and Tosos. Okay? And then I'll leave it up to you to try to explain the machlokas. So what's... Someone else want to read Tosos? Someone hasn't read yet? Good, I'll give it a try.
Shofar shenizdak v'dibko pasul. Shofar that's got cracked and you put it back together and it's
pasul. It's pasul, good.
Pirish b'kuntris dehavaleh k'shnei shofaros mash...
Stop there. So pirish b'kuntris dehavaleh k'shnei shofaros. Rashi explains that this is like shnei shofaros. Now you see the way Tosos understood is that he's also talking about that first case. That the first case is also problematic because of two or three shofars. Okay?
Mash Mosherotzel Omash Nistak Legamre Nechlak Labez Chatichos.
Stop.
That it got cracked, and completely cracked, and that it was separated into two different pieces.
Good. So Nistak Lagamre means entirely cracked, such that it went right through. The crack went right through, and now you have two Chatichos, two pieces. Not this way. This would be Nistak, not La'arko, but what? This would be Nistak La'rochbo. Right? It got chopped or cut or cracked widthwise, not lengthwise. Right? Rochbo, the width of it. That's not the same, because that could still be kosher. If this gets cracked off, this is still a kosher shofar. The Gemara talks about that elsewhere. So now we're talking about it got cracked through here, you have two halves, says Tosos. That's the pshat. That's what Rashi's saying. According to Tosos, okay? Right. Stop there. He's saying, I know this is what Rashi means. Why does he have to mean this? Why does he have to mean that it actually broke into two pieces? Because what? Because the alternative is that it's not broken into two pieces, but it's still attached. Mm-hmm. Right, let's say it would be broken over here. We split up here, still fused together on the bottom, just like a big U, came apart, or a V.
It's all one piece.
So you say, that's not called two shofros. Why would that be called two shofros? He says, if Rashi is saying there's a problem of two shofros, it must mean that the pieces came apart, and then you put them back together. Again, we have to put ourselves in the head of Rashi and Tosos in a moment to try to understand what they're arguing on, but that's what Tosos is saying. Tosos is saying, I know that Rashi means two pieces came apart and then you put them back together. That's why it's two shofros. Okay. But if that's the case, there's a difficulty. What's the difficulty? Okay.
The tema, the im nechlak lagamre, if it was completely separated.
Right. If indeed that's the case, that you have two halves now, two totally separate pieces.
Hainu,
what does hainu mean?
Since?
Hainu means, in this case, it means that is.
Okay.
That is. It's the same thing. Hainu, right? That is. Dibek shivre shofros. Hainu hach. You ever hear that phrase? Hainu hach. The one and the same? Told us the same 1 second. So according to Rashi, it has to believe that it got split down the middle. Got split down the middle into two pieces, you put it back together, that's no good, two shofros. He says, if that's the case, hainu, dibik shivre shofros. It's the same as taking multiple shofar pieces and putting them back together. It was no different. Okay, so he offers up his own pshat. Now let's, I'd like to hold off for a second, before we get into Tosos' own mahalach. Let's just work with Rashi now. Let's assume Tosos is right in terms of the pshat of Rashi. That the shofar broke into two pieces. In the first case, this one shofar, and in the second case, you have multiple pieces of shofros, either from the same shofar, it's rings, or it's multiple pieces from multiple shofars, and you put them together as one. So Tosos is saying, 1 second, if you have the first case, you don't need a second case. Rashi would obviously answer and say, no, it's not true. If you only had the first case, you wouldn't necessarily know the second case.
Why?
Maybe that's what I'm asking you.
Oh.
Okay? Why do the cases, according to Rashi, not necessarily stand for the same proposition?
Rashi has to tell us both.
Right. Why, in according to Rashi, does the Mishnah have to teach us both? That's exactly what I'm asking.
Because the
you, everyone follow the question?
Animals or so.
Right.
And putting them together.
So good. We're going to start with that. We're going to start with that assumption. I mean, now we'll take the second assumption, the second possibility. But again, just to repeat, what we're saying now is the following. You can't, according to Rashi, could respond to Tosafot by saying like this. No. The problem with Bezek Gimel Shofros is going to be applied differently to these two cases. Why? When I look at the case of Shivrei Shofros, I took pieces from many different places. What's the problem? What's the psul? What would I think the psul is? I'd say, oh, maybe the psul is that there's a piece here that's identifiable as being from a different source. So when I reconstitute this new shofar, my shofar is the product of many shofars. It's not one shofar, it's two or three shofars. Right? It's not the way it grew on the animal. This is not the shofar as it occurred. I made a shofar out of two or three or four or five shofars. That's basic gemel shofros. Oh, but shofar echad amar rachmana. So what I think, I'd say, oh, where I take a shofar that broke in half and I just put it back together, does either piece have an identity other than its mate? No, they're just being put back together.
Now there's clearly a difference. Is that what we're talking about, or you could take?
One second. I'm going to work with the other possibility. Does everyone understand that? So what's the other possibility? Another possibility is, no, let's say they didn't come from different shofars. Let's say Dibek Shivei Shofros means you have a bunch of pieces came from one shofar. Rings. Let's say the shofar was cut into rings. Before we even get to Tosos's problem, shofar was broken up into individual rings. That's Dibek Shivei Shofros. I take them, I put them all back together. What's wrong with that one?
Each one has a quantity.
Each one has the halachic status, perhaps, of a shofar. I can relate. I can relate to each one as a shofar. So that's the problem with basic gemel shofros. But where I have a split shofar and I put it back together, what do I have? Can this be called a shofar? I cut this like this. Can I call this a shofar? Just half of it? That's not a shofar. Can I call a ring a shofar? Yeah, that I can call a shofar. If it has enough of a shear. But the half, no matter how big it is, it's not a shofar. So we're saying there's two different possibilities here within Rashi. And it's either the Chiddush is that even where the broken half of the shofar doesn't retain the halachic status of a shofar, right? It still violates this rule of Beis Gimel shofros. Or even where the shofar doesn't have an identity of a separate shofar, because it didn't come from a different animal, it also violates the rule of Beis Gimel shofros. So now that begs the question, what does Beis Gimel shofros mean, according to Rashi? According to Rashi, taking the two halves and putting them back together is still called Beis Gimel shofros. Why? Let me make sure everyone understands the question. Again, we're trying to answer Tosas Kasha, right? How is Rashi going to answer Tosas Kasha? So Rashi is going to say, listen, Tosas, I'll tell you why you need both cases according to my Mahalach. They're not the same. Dibek Shivei Shofros tells me I can't put together a shofar from pieces that have the identity of different shofars, because I'm going to look at it and each one's going to have an identity of a separate shofar. That's basic gemel shofros. Or, even if it's on the same shofar, if each piece individually has the halachic status of shofar, that's also going to be basic gemel shofros. So that's only going to teach me so much. It's not going to teach me the rule of one shofar split in two. Because one shofar split in two doesn't have either of those qualities. It doesn't have independent identity as two shofars, because it didn't come from two animals. And forget about that, even if you want to use the second mahalach, it doesn't have the status of a shofar, because that's not a shofar. Half a shofar lengthwise is not a shofar. Rings could be a shofar. Nistak v'arka is never a shofar. So why would I put it back together? Am I going to say it's a shofar? Kamash Moran, no, that's Beis Gimel shofros. So now you have to explain Rashi. Now you have to explain, how does Rashi understand the problem of two or three shofars? You see, it's not only where it's literally two or three shofars. I just want to make sure everyone's clear on that question. Yes? Sammy, you with me? Dr. J? Gil?
Yeah. So maybe you understand the issue as it's not. The problem, because you're asking, what's the problem with Shnei shofars, basically, right?
Yes.
So maybe he's understanding it in the standpoint of it not being halakhical. It's not functioning as a shofar. When it has the status of two shofars, it's not functioning as a shofar.
What do you mean? You're not saying practically.
No, not practically. I'm saying
halakhically. There's a deficiency. What's the deficiency? It's not one shofar. It's two shofars.
That's right.
But how do I say about this shofar that it's two? Why is this shofar two when I took the two halves and I put them back together? I'm saying you have to take Rashi a step further in the way he's explaining two or three shofars.
In terms of the split in half, right?
That's the biggest. That's the big problem here.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, good.
Saying that a shofar is, by definition, a shofar is one that doesn't have a bracket.
Okay, good.
Does not have this pasul
right
of it being nistar.
Good. And therefore, when it has a crack and I put it back together,
that's considered like
two or three. But why? You're saying good, but you have to explain to me why is that called two? I think you're saying.
But
I think you're saying it. It's a little trick question what I'm asking. I'm mostly asking a little trick question.
He's defining shofar as like two entities, like it's two entities, and then you make it into one. But now it's
good. And therefore, what?
There's a crack. Yeah.
Meaning it still has that number two.
What's two? What's the two-ness to it?
The fact that it's two entities, two different parts.
Say it a little better. You're saying good. Say it a little bit better.
The fact that it has a crack.
Now it doesn't have a crack anymore. Now there's no crack. I took two halves and put them back together.
You moved it together.
Yes.
So I'm saying that the fact that it has a
heat. So what's it lacking in?
So it's lacking in the shofar.
It's oneness.
It's lacking in oneness.
Oneness. Yeah.
It's lacking in oneness.
Okay, yeah.
That's what he means. That's what he's saying. It's not that it's really two, but it's lacking in one. And the truth is, if you see, look at the Gemara, listen to the Gemara's Lashon. The Gemara in Chavav, I'll read it again because it's not on the sheet. But the Gemara talks about the cow, it says, Shofar Echad Amar Rachmana. There's two parts to that phrase. It's Shofar Echad Amar Rachmana, and not Beis Gimel Shofros. So according to Rashi, which is the more significant part of the statement? Shofar Echad Amar Rachmana. So what does it mean? It's one. You look at it now. Does it look like two? Does it look like two? It's two halves fused together. Does it look like two?
No.
No. But it's not one. Why is it not one?
Because it was two at a point.
Because it's not naturally one. Shofar Echad Amar Rachmana means he must blow the shofar as it occurred in nature. And anything that you do to create a shofar is not shofar echad anymore. It's a man-made shofar. Man-made shofar is lacking in the requirement of shofar echad. Look at it, looks like one. There's no pieces that are identifiable as being parts of another shofar. That's all true. That's all true. And that's why you can't blow the second shofar, the one that D-Big Shimei shofars. But you know what? There's also another aspect to this psul. The other aspect to the psul is that even where the pieces didn't enjoy a status of shofar before, and it's only chaticha shofar, and you put it together, it's not one. It's not one. It's not shofar achad. What do you mean it's not shofar echad? Because before, a minute ago, it was two hands. Had it become a shofar? By my ma'aseh yadayim, I did this. That's not called shofar echad. Is that clear?
So that's where Rashi has to make the distinction.
That's why Rashi needs both cases, because you could not necessarily learn, you wouldn't necessarily learn one psul from the other. You need both cases according to Rashi. Okay. Okay, we have about 20 minutes. Let's try. How many guys got into the Ritva? You get into the Ritva a little bit? Okay, so maybe just outside, I'll just mention the other issue. I mean, there's more in Tosos, but I'd like to get at least this other point out on the table and see if we could discuss it a little bit. And then if there's time, we'll come back to Tosos. So in terms of this split, Rashi, the way Tosos is learning, says it's split in half, totally in half. According to Tosos, how is it split? Tosos learns a different pshat. And he says, no, it's not split in two halves. It's split differently. How is it split? What do you mean? On one side. Mitzad Echad. Mitzad Echad. Did everyone see that, Tosos? How far down Mitzad Echad? La'arko, but how much la'arko? Al-Pnei-Kulo. Al-Pnei-Kulo, what does that mean? Gansen, the whole side, split. Entirely, split. So from here, Minakatze al-Akatze, the whole thing, split. In the Ritva, when the Ritva learns his case, what does he say?
Rubo.
He says either Kulo or Rubo. Or Rubo.
Which
means majority. More than halfway.
Majority.
Right, more than halfway. So let's say you had a small shofar. What's that? 51% of the way. 51%. Right? 51% Rebov. So according to Tosos, in order for this crack to be the crack which is problematic, it has to be split from here to here entirely. Why? Now it's called Nistak. That's called split. According to the Ritva, it doesn't have to be split from here all the way to the end. No. If it's split from here, well, let's assume this is the halfway mark. Let's assume it's the halfway mark, a little bit more. Now it's no good. Even if I take it and I glue it back together, it's not good. So could you explain that, Machlokas?
Well, why isn't it good in the first place? Meaning, why isn't it good if there's if it's split in half on both sides? Why isn't that good?
What do you mean?
I forget the last answer. Why wasn't it good if it's completely split?
Completely then split?
It's not one, right?
That's Rashi.
So are we using the same answer for this?
Why? Well, Tosos gives two different answers. Tosos says either it's because it lost the shame shofar, right? Once it's split, it's not called a shofar anymore. So when you put it back together, you don't have a shofar anymore, right? It's similar, essentially similar to what we explained for Rashi, not exactly. And the other possibility is he says that it's gonna crack open. But without getting into the reason for a second, whatever the reason is, Tosos is saying, in order to call this a split shofar, it needs to be split entirely. Now it's split.
So the machlokes is Tosos says it has to be split the whole way, and Ritva says
even rov is enough to invalidate it.
Okay.
So why would you say? Why would you say that? What I'm really asking is like this: why, according to Tosos, is rov not enough to invalidate the shofar? Tosos seems to specifically go out of his way to say you need to split the whole way. Yeah, so you want to say what?
So it doesn't fit either.
But why don't you apply the rule of Ruba Kikulo? Ritva says you apply the rule of Ruba Kikulo.
Because if you have a crack that is going along it, you still have part of the shofar that's uncracked.
Good.
And that part can still be kosher, and you're blowing through a kosher shofar.
Oh, okay, so let's assume that's not the case. You, that's true. You could have a kosher shofar, and then the end might not be problematic. That's all separate issue. Let's say the shofar is only a shear. To make it as problematic as possible, right? Let's say the shofar is only a shear, and now you have the crack in its entirety, or you have the crack rubo. Right? So we'll get out of that.
His approach would make sense. I mean, to me.
Yeah. Saying that, that's what I was saying.
You know, all intents and purposes, though, you may have a crack rubo, but it's still a shofar. In other words, it's not. There's nothing there. Yeah, they're still connected. In other words, there's still a part of it that's connected. That you can call, you can say shofar echad amar rahman. You can say that it's still one shofar. True. Okay, it's one shofar that just has this crack on.
Right.
Whereas, suppose if you say it's completely cracked down the middle, then that's not a shofar echad. That's just a piece. Or, you know what I'm saying? I think Tosos was.
You're saying, if I'm not mistaken, you're saying like this: as long as there's a piece that's still intact, that's
still demonstrating
that this is a shofar,
right.
I won't say Ruba Kikulo.
That's right.
Is that right? Is that what you're saying? Okay. So as long as the part which is the uncracked portion, is the meat here, right? You have rove cracked and the meat is uncracked. So as long as the meat is still serving the purpose of retaining the shame shofar, right? Or it's still there in such a way that it can lend to the shame shofar, then I won't say Ruba Kikulo. I don't say Ruba Kikulo in such a way, in such a case. Okay, I hear that. So what about the Ritva? Why is the Ritva convinced that if you have Rov, it's like the whole thing is cracked?
Because Ruba Kikulo.
Ruba Kikulo, good. So let's ask the following question. What does Ruba Kikulo mean? Let's start with literally, what does it mean? Ruba Kikulo, what does it mean?
Majority is whole.
Ruba Kikulo. It's like the whole, right? It's like. When do you say that? What's an example? Ruba Kikulo.
When we say that by by me.
Isavahata, you mean? Rove. Right, so we do say something's mixed in something else, so we say that the Isser somehow becomes like the Rove, according to some sheets. Okay, that's a similar idea. So I put two Gemaras at the bottom of the sheet. If anyone has the. Is there an extra sheet floating around anywhere? Good! That's a classic example of Ruba Kukulo. You have to cut the simonim. You have to cut both signs of the animal. You have to cut through the kana and the veshet. But if you cut through rove of the simonim, b'diavad, that's okay. Right? Rove of the simonim is okay. Ruba Kukulo. So the question is like this. Why is that? Why is that so? There's two possibilities. There's a chakir you can make about Ruba Kukulo. Let me just quickly run through these two Gemaras and I'll take your comic, okay? So the Gemara over here in Nazir says like this. Amar Rav Acha Brei D'Rav Ika Zoso Meres Ruba Kukulo Midaraisa Mimai Mitigali Rachmana Gabi Nazir B'Yom HaShvi'i Yigalchanu. Right? The Nazir, after he finishes his period of Naziris, the Nazirite, he has to cut off all his hair. So Hocha Hu the Ad the Ika Kulo. You require kulo. Ha ba'alma ruba kukulo. The Torah went out of its way to tell you have to cut off all the hair. Why? Because had it not said that, you would say ruba kukulo. Okay? You would say ruba kukulo. So the Torah specifically has to tell you cut off all the hair of the nazir. Why? Because it just says cut the hair off the nazir. What would you say? Okay, I'll cut off rove. So what's the what is the proposition of this Gemara? If not for the pasuk by Nazir, right? And you'd say cut off rove, and rove works. Midin ruba kikulo. That's why Torah go out of its way to tell you no, cut off all of it. So now I'm asking like this: why would that be so? Why would it be so that the Torah has to tell you cut off all? Otherwise, you would say ruba kikulo. Now forget about the Nazir. I'm just asking in Svara. How does Ruba Kukulo work? What are the two possibilities when I say Ruba Kukulo? You don't have to know anything about this. I'm just telling you, if we have a rule in a vacuum, the rule says, you need X, you need to cut the simonim. You need to cut the simonim on the animal. You need to cut the kana and the veshi. You need to cut the trachea and the esophagus. Right? But now I tell you, you know what? If you cut 51%, if you cut into 51% of them, that's okay. So what do you mean, Mamsha? You don't have to cut all of them, or I have to cut majority. So what does it mean, majority is like all? Give me two possibilities, two possible ways of understanding that rule.
Can you say the 51% is like 100%, or could you say the other possibility is anything less than 50% is like 0%? In other words, you look at it from both ends of the stick, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, let's take the first possibility you gave. Go with the first possibility.
51% or more is like 100%.
So that's saying that when I say Ruba Kukulo, it literally means that doing rove is like I did the whole thing. Okay, that's one possibility. Ruba Kukulo means as it sounds, I did 51%, I did rove, it's like I did the whole thing. It's really like I did the whole thing. But that means what? That I really require the whole thing. I require the whole thing. When I did rove, I get credit for doing the whole thing. But really, I need the whole thing. But Ruba Kukulo tells me I did the whole thing. What's another possibility?
Well, that requirement isn't that you need to do something. You don't, they prefer that you do all of it, but if you do something, that's fine. Whereas you don't necessarily need to do Kula. You just need to do something that's considered, let's say in this case, a Mice of Shechting. So a Mice of Shechting is I cut at least one of these money. Right. Ideally speaking,
no, not that. Well, 51% of both.
Yeah. Both, yeah.
Okay. I mean, or another case. Another case.
In other words, another
case. I don't know how much I need, but Ruba Kukulo tells me if I did rove, I did enough.
That's right.
I did enough. It's not that I must do all, and by doing rove, I did all.
You have to do something. So what's the share for doing something?
Or this thing, whatever. Yeah, right. Whatever this thing is, rove tells me I did enough.
Yeah.
I have to shave the hair of the nazir. I have to cut off all the Nazir's hair after his Naziris. Well, Ruba Kukulo, if not for the fact that the Pasuk would come and tell me cut off all the hair. So what does Ruba Kukulo tell me? Either it means that I must cut off all, but if I did rove, it's like I did all. Or no. It's not like I, not that I must cut off all. If I do rove, I've done enough. Ruba kukula, I did enough. So now, can we use that machlokas to explain maybe the way the Ritva and Tosos are learning over here by Shofar? This could be just a fundamental machlokas, how they learn rove.
Yeah, and there was Ritva saying that you need the whole Shofar. No, it's not that. It's not, you know, you need in order
to be split.
Well, he's saying if it's...
We're talking about the split. We're talking about what makes it puzzle.
If he's saying that if it's split rove, it's puzzle. So he's requiring that you have to have the full show.
To be kosher, you need a whole show.
You need a whole show.
Right.
So even if it's just split rove, that's no good because it's lacking. No, you need the whole show. Whereas Tosfos is saying that it's not that you need it. In other words, you have to have a majority. You have to have something, a substance there.
Right? Well, let me pose the question this way. According to Tosos, if you had a rove, would it be puzzle? Rove was broken? No, it'd still be okay.
It'd still be okay.
So why is that? There's a question, using this understanding of rove.
Well, because Tosos say, you require the shofar. Well, you require the blow of shofar.
Right.
Do you have a shofar there? Yeah. You don't need the full length of the shofar. You know, you just need something that you can do on myself. So you have that substance there.
So they both agree. They both agree that you need a shofar. A shofar that's fully cracked is possible. That's what's possible. Mm-hmm. Right? Tosfos and the Ritva both agree. A shofar that's cracked entirely, that's the psal. So what's the point of machlokas? What are they arguing on? Whether or not to apply rove here. Whether or not you could apply rove.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Right? So now why? Why? Is that what you're trying to explain?
Because it really depends on what you it depends on how they define.
So the Ritva.
I'm suggesting.
Would have been okay with a shofar that's partially broken.
It sounds like he's demanding a fully broken shofar. So why is that?
So because.
So it's also saying, when do you apply Ruba Kukulo?
When it's something that requires you to have, I don't exactly know, but it's like, it requires something of you. It doesn't require...
Right, it requires some form of Maisa. Some Maisa. And we say, well, once you did Rove, you did enough. But Tosfos says, no, over here, that's not true. Over here, it's not true. The psul of the shofar shenistak is that it's split entirely. That's the psul. The Ritva is saying the rove is enough to give you the psul because rove works in such a way that once you have rove, you have the whole thing. Tosfos saying that's not the pshat in rove. Rove is where you need a shear, or you need to do something. If I've done rove, I've done enough. I need to cut the hair of the nazir. Torah doesn't say anything, so I cut rove. I've done enough. That's Ruba Kukulo. But over here, I can't say Ruba Kukula because the psul of the shofar shenistak is a shofar that's entirely split. I'm not going to apply the rule of Ruba Kukula to say, and once I have rove, the whole thing is cracked.
So wouldn't another question come up? So why does Tosfos feel that?
That's why he says it has to be entirely cracked.
Yeah.
If you had a rove, it sounds like it would still be kosher.
Yeah, but he's saying so rove isn't applicable.
Yeah, it's not applicable.
So, but Ritva's saying it is.
Because I'm saying Ritva has a different view of rove.
So
Ritva says Ruba Kukulo is literally Kukulo. And therefore, it's as though the whole thing is cracked right now.
So wouldn't that be in my focus of when do you apply? In other words, why would Ritva say, you know what, in order to determine...
No, it's a fundamental machlokas in how to learn Ruba Kukulo. What you're saying before, you gave a different mahalach. Your mahalach is different. Your mahalach could be they both agree on how to learn rove. It could be they both agree on how to learn Ruba Kukulo, but they're arguing over here where you have this piece that's retained where the miyut is still present, which is lending to the other substance, to the shofarness, to the shofarness of this thing, not to the nistak nature of it. So as long as I have a miyut which really gives a different quality, I can't be mavatal in the miyut, right? I think that's what you were saying initially. That's a slightly different approach, that the Tosfos is saying, listen, if you have a miyut that's still serving a shofar, I can't say now Ruba Kukulo. I can't use Ruba Kukulo to say that this aspect of the shofar is not existent. I could say that where the simonim are not cut, I could say it's like it's cut. But I can't say here where there's a halachic status that's imbued in this mia that Rove's going to come in and take away that status and say it's ruba kakula. No, because it has another nature. If it was nothing, if it was neutral, then you say ruba kakula, the whole thing will be nimshach after the Rove. It will come along with the Rove. But not while it's retaining an independent status and it's really serving to keep the rest of the thing in terms of shofar.
You're saying
given
is how they understand Rove.
I'd say it's a possibility. It's not local to shofar. I'm just saying it's another possibility. I just thought it was nice to bring out because this is a big question in terms of how you learn Ruba Kakula in general. That's a lot of other issues here, but unfortunately we don't really have time to take them all up. Let's suggest over Yontif, if you have time, go through the rest of this Ritva. There's a couple of nice ideas here in the Ritva. And Bezos Hashem, we're supposed to reconvene here on Monday. There's no shiur tomorrow, I'm told. We'll reconvene here on Monday. On Monday, we will start doing sukkah. So bring a sukkah. If you have that kovetz, if you bring it in, then we'll try to have it for at least after Yontif. But if you want to start looking over the Gemara over Yontif, we're going to be starting with the Mishnah on Chavhei, Osek B'mitzvah, Pater Minah Mitzvah. Okay, so everyone should have a chasiva, chasiva tova, good year. It should be a good year for everyone, good year of learning, good year of hatzlach and everything that you do. And as always, if you need anything or you want to schmooze, I'm around, and they'll be happy to help you.